That's what we're talking about today, is being connected, and particularly connected in the church family, connected in the body of Christ. You know, we live in a day and an age when we have more opportunities to connect than any time in the history of the world. We have more technological opportunities. Communication's rapid pace has given us, if something happens around the globe, on the other side of the world, that would have taken months to get to us in terms of news, years, decades, centuries ago, we know it within minutes, seconds in some cases. I mean, there's a potential for being connected around the globe like never before. We've got cell phones with contacts, sometimes thousands of contacts, that all we have to do is touch a button, and we've got instant access to 1,000 people. We have the opportunity to connect. Transportation, it just abounds. And yet, what are we finding? What are we finding in our world today is people are feeling more isolated, more lonely, more alone than ever before in the history of the world. Now, you can blame pace of life. We live in a fast-paced culture. It's way different pace than it used to be, partly because of that technology we serve that was designed to serve us. We can blame mobility. I mean, every year, 20% of the U.S. population moves. 20% of the U.S. population moves every year. Now, they don't always move out of the area, but they move. So statistically, every 5 years, you have 100% turnover. Now, somebody might move five times in those 5 years, and somebody else might never move, you know. But average it out, we live in an extremely mobile culture and society. Now, that's going to be somewhat to blame. Deep down within, I think there's a force at work to try to keep us alone, to keep us away from one another. So it's not just external forces, it's actually spiritual forces that are striving to keep. In fact, what was the first comment God made when he made man? Do you remember? One of the first statements God out of his mouth was, "It is not good for man to be alone." Now, we always apply that to marriage, and I lovingly apply that to marriage. But it's far, far greater than marriage. It's not only about marriage, folks. God's passion, the reason he created us, was not to be alone. Even if we're in the midst of thousands and thousands and thousands of people, if we feel alone, he's going to say, "It's not good. It's not good. The best things in your life he designed for you don't come out of aloneness. They come out of community and connectedness." See, if you connect with God and with people, if you connect with God and with people, numbers of things are going to happen in your life. You're going to have stability in your life. You're going to have strength in your life like you can't imagine by yourself. You're going to have balance. Being in relationship will bring you balance that left to yourself doesn't always happen. And you're going to have a fruitfulness, an opportunity to produce fruit like you've never can do on your own. So God's saying to all of us, not good, folks, to stay alone. Don't hole up and pretend to live your Christian life in isolation. He's saying to the body of Christ here, Capital Vision, he's saying to his body of Christ across the region, across the nation, around the world, now's the time like never before. Don't get so caught up in the technological world that you think you're connecting with people when really you've disconnected. Most of our psychotropic drugs and the treatments that we're giving to people for anxieties and all kinds of social things, they really say they're a substitute. Much of what's needed to solve those problems, health and emotional issues, our connectedness. As we've grown in our isolation, those problems and diseases have taken over. That's the most prescribed drug in our culture at this time. So, what's God want? He wants us to connect. He wants us to connect with Him and with each other. If you've got your handout this morning, there's an insert. I just want to drill some scriptures with you this morning because God speaks so passionately about this idea of connecting. And I feel like we're so close as a family, we're so close as the body of Christ to grasping this, but we're one step away. Three quarters of our church family has not yet embraced a permanent small group. And that's where we're at. We need to connect. We need to connect in our small group. Before we go past it, I drew this up last week. Just on the front cover, I'm just thinking about the church philosophy, the church theology here. The church is not an event to attend, an organization to join, nor is it a country club to brag about. I'm part of that church. What is it? According to Jesus, according to the Word, the church is a family where you belong, a home where you are loved, and a hospital where you can be healed, where Jesus is doing the healing. That's His plan for us. That's why I get us away from the Word. I hope you're stopping to, you know, using it. Attend. Attend. You know, if you're on a sports team and you go and play, you don't say, well, I attended the game. That'd be the spectators. If you're on the team, you participated in the team. You wouldn't use the word attend. And guys, gals, brothers, sisters, God's called you on the team. There's no such thing. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's not meant to be a fan. Yay, go everybody, yeah, go. It's meant to be a participation, connect sport. Oh, I love this passage and the passion in this passage. This is a message paraphrase from Ephesians chapter 1. And I just want to drill it in for a second. This is in charge of all things is Christ. He has the final word on everything. Do you believe that? Jesus Christ has the final word on everything. At the center of all of this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world, but the world is peripheral to the church. Now, that's a different way of thinking about it. That's inverted, isn't it? That's counterintuitive. Because the world is so huge and the church is relatively small, but this says direct, the church is the center. The world is peripheral to the church, not the other way around. See, the church is Christ's body in which He speaks and He acts and by which He fills everything with His presence. That's what He wants to do with the church. He wants to speak through us. He wants to act through us. He wants to fill everything with His presence. How? Through us. It's not His naked presence somehow coming into people's lives. It's His body presence coming into their lives through us, the church. Through us, the family of God. Through us, the body of Christ. Now, we're going to drill into that some more, because we're going to actually look at four biblical pictures, four metaphors that the Bible gives for us to help think about connecting and to tell us the benefits of connecting. I guess I feel like we're just on the precipice. We're right on the edge of accepting all that God has for us. And so what I want to do today is kind of kick us over the edge and say, come on, jump in. Just like that guy in the video said, what do you got to lose? You got to be crazy not to join a small group. You got to be crazy not to connect deeply with one another. If Sunday morning is your primary or your only opportunity to connect with the body of Christ, you are selling yourself so short and you're selling others so short. You're selling Christ so short. I'm just saying, come on in. The water's fine. This is time to build, renew, regain, and start home groups, start ministries where we can connect with one another. This is all still in the preliminary, so we haven't got into it yet, but just check this out, okay? Even though we are many individuals, Christ makes us one body. And individuals who are what? Connected. I mean, this isn't just a Pastor Bruce word. It's right out of the scriptures. You'll see it over and over and over again. Be connected. Be connected. Be connected. We are individuals who are connected to whom? Oh, I thought we were just connected to God. It was never the design. It is to be connected to God. Don't stop with that, though. Connected to God and connected to each other. That's the meaning of the word and what we call member. The word member is a biblical word. That's where we get it. First picture. Jot this down. We are connected to God's building. That's the first word picture you get when it comes to what is the church and how do we connect. You connect by being, as it were, in this picture, part of God's building. Part of God's building. In fact, it calls us a temple. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God lives in you? Now, how many have heard this verse presented primarily as an individual thing? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. I was a teenager. They used to teach us, don't misuse your body, you know, smoking and drinking, because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you if you're a believer. And there are verses that talk about the individual presence of the Holy Spirit in the temple that is my body. And that's a good principle. But this one gets lost, because this is the Spirit of God lives in you, plural. Do you follow me there? He lives in you, not just you. Is this confusing? But you. He is among you. He is in your midst. It were two or more gathered there, he is in your midst. With one person, you don't have a midst. Right? He's saying, you're the temple of God, I mean, the Spirit of God lives in you, plural. Is that a revelation? We don't live like that. We don't focus on that. We'll read two more verses. We who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. And in Christ, you are being built together and become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. I use the two words, joined and built together. Notice all three of these. That all of you together are the temple. You're carefully joined together, built together. What's the common word? Together. You got it. You got to be together. No one of us is a temple of the Holy Spirit, but all of us collectively together, joined and built together, we are the temple. Can you catch that? We're the temple of the Spirit of God. Is that amazing? He chose us, mere men and women, to become his temple? I don't know why he chose us. I don't know why he chose this method. It amazes me the more I think about it, the more I know myself and the more I know other people. But that's his methodology, not mine, not yours. So flow with it. Go with it. Be inspired by it. Realize that you and I are meant to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, of the Lord himself. We are connected and built into his family. That's why I say it's not an event that you attend. It's a designed building, a lasting temple, a living temple. He says you are living stones built and joined together in this great temple that he is building. You can only be in connection when you're together. Ephesians chapter 2, this built together. How many of you have done any... You're in the midst of this right now, building a house, right? How many of you have done like a remodel to your house? Raise your hands. Okay, yeah. We've worked on places, huh? I get called into those from time to time. Not that I know anything about it, but yeah. Lydia and I have gone through. We've lived in our place long enough. You know, you do the remodel. kick the kids out of the house and build it the way you want it to be, and then it's back to daycare. Sorry, sweetie. Last year, we took some portion of this building right here, and there was a little storage shed, and we took and we built it the whole length of the building. Didn't we, Bill? Yeah. We made storage there. We remodeled, and we built, and that's the idea. In fact, here's some principles. This just kind of flow out of, see if these don't resonate with any of you that have done some building, okay? First of all, you can't build with just one part, okay? When you build, it's a multiplicity of parts. There's lots and lots of parts that go into building, even a small building, lots of parts. Maybe some things are clicking when you think about the church temple, the body temple. Another one. All parts have to fit together. If a 2x4 is 2 feet too short, you don't use it. You get one that fits. And you cut it, Lord willing, to the right length. What happens when you don't? What happens if your plumbing is 2 inches too short? And you say, well, I'll just use it anyway. You got leaks all over, right? You know? They have to fit together. Buildings have to fit. Number three, a part is useless unless it's connected. I mean, I can have a big pile of flooring, let's say tile, and be walking on sawdust. Because it's useless unless it's fit together. You know? A part is useless until it's connected. It's just a bunch of parts, right? Yeah. Number four, a part that can be inside the house may or may not be part of the house. I mean, there were times when you walk into Lydia's in my house and you might see a pile of flooring, you know, a bunch of 2x4s, some roofing over here, but they're not part of the house. They were just inside the house. Are you following the principle here? I kind of think there's people who are inside the church, maybe attending church, that aren't a part of the temple. They're not a part of the building. They've not yet been part of the house because they haven't connected. Could that be where we stand? Sometimes people will come up to me at a store or something, and I always like to listen to their language. Sometimes people will say, Pastor Bruce, I just love your church. And I'm letting them say that. I'm just thinking out loud. Your church, huh? What I love? Just happened this week on Facebook. Someone said, I love my church. They use the personal pronoun, possessive, singular, my. And I can tell by the parlance, by the verbiage, whether or not they're part of the church or just inside the church. Did you catch that? And when you think of the family of God, what do you is it your family? Is it your temple? Is it your building? Not building, not the brick and mortar. The fabric that God's building that holds his Holy Spirit. Is it my? Is it our? Is it us-en? Us-en. Us. Now catch this. The value of each part is magnified by the connection. Now I'm told that catch me if you think I'm right on this, Tom. A house that's worth $200,000. Okay, so maybe an average house, $200,000. If you just took the raw parts and went to buy them, they'd be approximately $40,000 worth of parts. In a house that, when connected, when labor is installed, when craftsmanship is made, when design, and it's all put together, it's 200,000, fivefold. I mean, we're talking 40,000, 200. What? Because they're what? It's connected in the right way. Each part is magnified by all the other parts. If you just have raw building material, it's practically useless. You could take cartloads and dump truck loads of raw material to some homeless people and say, here, you now have a home. And they go, thanks for the pile of lumber. Maybe I'll try to make something out of it. But until it gets connected, the value is low. When it gets connected, through the fivefold, the value is. So these are just lessons I think of when I think about rebuilding or the building, things that come to the surface when God uses the term, you are a building made by God. You, the church, are God's holy temple made for His Holy Spirit. And He wants you to note His love, His value, His plan for you. See the difference between being an observer, being a passive spectator versus being a participant. To me, it's kind of like someone who's a couple that are living together versus a couple that are married. What's the difference? They're still couples. Big word. Commitment. Commitment. Promise. Relationship. The relationship goes from single, living together, to married. Honey, I don't know what's coming our way, but we're going to make our way through it. Whatever it is. Good, bad, indifferent. We're committed to each other. Now, there's a lot of people that I sense are kind of dating the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. You know, they're spending time, they're kicking the tires, they're looking things over, they're wondering about. But there's a big difference when you say, I promise, I'm committed, I give myself, I'll learn to love through thick and thin. We're going through it together, no matter what. That's God's best for us, that idea of commitment. Well, why do you suppose the Lord uses a building as His plan for us? Because the building gives us stability and support. Those are the benefits that you get from this picture of a building. In fact, I list the verse on your page there. The church of the living God is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. The church of the living God is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. The church is the pillar. What do you get from a pillar? What are these pillars over here doing? They're holding it up. He says the church is the pillar of the truth. And it also says it's the foundation. Stomp your foot for a minute. I mean, just get the mud off. No. I mean, just a pretty solid slab of concrete here, right? Yeah. It's a foundation. He says the church is the foundation and the pillar of the truth. We're to be the stable and support focus for the truth of God. That's what you get by being a part of God's household. Stability. What did Jesus love to tell stories about the foundation, right? The sand and the rock, you know? And He loved to tell stories about houses that weren't built right and that went smash. You know? The benefit of being connected to God's family isn't that the storms aren't going to happen. The wind and the waves happened to both houses. Houses that were well built and houses that had no foundation. But what they had built on Christ was stability. What they had built on Christ was support. Do you need any support in your life? Do you need stability? Don't we all, right? That's God's plan for us, is to be part of His family. Take a look at this quick two-minute video of a young lady here in town. She's a friend of mine. And how much small groups have become meaningful to her, cultivating deeper.
My husband, Evan, and I have hosted several small groups over the years, but the experience I'm having in our current small group has been
Powerful. Connected. You can tell she's doing life together. 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 That's what it's all about. Second picture for us. First is God's building. The second one is God's body. Christ's body. When you get connected, you get connected to Christ's body. You know, he refers to himself over and over again as he's the head, we're the body. The body of Christ. Without a head, we're in trouble. Without a body, he's in trouble. Okay? He's chosen this. This isn't my choosing or your choosing. He's chosen this. He's the leader. He's the head. We're the body. Over and over, this is the most voluminous picture that the scriptures give us of the church. It's the body of Christ. It's my favorite. It's my favorite. God has given us everything, put everything under the authority of Christ, and God gave him the authority for the benefit of his church, which is, he labels it, the church is what? The body of Christ. Ephesians 4:25, in Christ's body we are all what? Connected. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. Well, that's the reality. It's a body. Last one in this section. Just as many parts of our, there are many parts to our bodies, plural, so it is with Christ's body, singular. We are all parts of it. And it takes every one of us to make it complete. For each have different work to do. So we belong to each other. And each of us needs all the others. Let's highlight a couple of things in here. What's the first thing? It says there's many parts. There's many parts. Just like with your body, there's many parts. We're all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. I had someone in a church I was in Tacoma years and years ago, a young person said, well, if body's the illustration, he was kind of an Eeyore type person, kind of down on himself. He said, well, then I'm just a toenail. And at that time, I had just gone through toenail removal surgery, you know. So I'm like, do you know how important your toenails are? Do you know how much pain you can get from one ingrown toenail? How many have ever experienced an ingrown toenail? I just want to know here. Okay, so I'm in league with others, you know. He says, every part has a function. He says, every part is valuable. You may discount your part, don't do it. Sometimes we confuse prominence with significance. Sometimes, how would I illustrate? Okay, here we go. Someone says, Pastor Bruce, you got a pretty big nose on you. You know, somebody said, my nose gets to the door 2 days before the rest of my body, you know. Noses are prominent. Everybody sees your nose. In fact, I got a friend who, because of cancer, lost their nose. They had to have a prosthetic nose. But your nose is prominent, but not significant. You can live without the flesh on your nose. Now, there's a lot of other parts of my body. Let's say this ticker that's in here. I've never seen, hopefully you've never seen it, my liver, my pancreas. I mean, there are parts of my body that are not prominent, but hugely significant. Are you following me here? In the body of Christ, Paul talks about this. He says some of the parts of the body that are most seen, you know, maybe there's jealousy on someone else's part because, well, how come you get to be up front? You're like the face, the nose, the prominent but insignificant. And someone else might be like the heart, the liver, the lungs. They might be not prominent, but very significant. And that's the way I see the body of Christ. Don't ever discount your value because it says every part has different work to do. Don't compare your work with anyone else, your talents or your abilities. Do what God's called you to do and enjoy the part you're called to play in the body. But you've got to be connected to do that. If you're not connected, giving your part, you're stealing from me and everybody else in the body. And if they're not connected to the body of Christ, they're stealing from you. Because God's called us to do this together. There I go preaching again. We belong to each other. There's these many parts, and each of us have a different job to do. I would summarize it this way. I cannot fulfill God's purpose for my life by myself. I cannot fulfill God's purpose for my life by myself. Now, I don't know if you believe this. If you believe that, if it's not just a Pastor Bruce saying, I'd like you to repeat that after me. I'll say it one more time. I cannot fulfill God's purpose for my life by myself. If you believe that, repeat that with me. I cannot fulfill God's purpose for my life by myself. What's that call us to? Body life. Being part of the church family. Being part of Christ's holy body. See, what happens when a body part gets cut off? If I cut off my arm and set it aside, what happens to that arm? First of all, it's useless. What's a cut off body part do? It's going to die. It's going to be useless and dead. Too many people try to be dismembered. In fact, I hear that. I'm not going to be a member of any church. Well, be dismembered then. You know? That's one way of looking at it. Some people say, well, I love Jesus, I just can't stand his body. Try saying that to your mate. I love you, honey, I just can't stand your body. Yeah. Oh, wait, maybe some of us are made to say that. I don't know. You know? How rude. How offensive. Yeah. In fact, I think some of us go, I love God, I just can't stand his bride. Whoa, wouldn't that offend you if you just married this woman? He calls his term for us is the bride of Christ. Oh, we got some things backwards here. Well, the way we learn to love in the body of Christ is to be around unlovely people. Now, no elbows here. But that's what it's about. You learn to love by being in the family. In fact, the benefits of being in Christ's body is life. Like a limb that's attached and the blood is flowing, there's life and there's even growth there. You're never going to grow in your Christian walk by yourself. Growth comes from being connected in the body of Christ. Well, let's hasten on. This third one is the fruitful vine. You're connected to God's holy temple, you're connected to Christ's body, and you're connected to a fruitful vine. Now, these are verses that talk about being connected to Christ and being connected together in Christ. Two passages from John 15. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you stay connected, underline that, stay connected. Triple underline that, stay connected to me, and I am connected to you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. So you got much fruit or zero fruit. And all of it comes from being connected to the vine that is Christ. And we collectively, plurally, church-wise, are connected to the vine together. That's the point. A branch cannot produce any fruit by itself. It is to stay attached. Another word for connected to the vine. In the same way, you cannot produce fruit unless you live in me. If you want to have fruit in your Christian life, if you want to be fruitful, fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of ministry, the fruit of evangelism, you'll never experience it like you can when you're together in the body of Christ. It's designed to be a together thing. Fruitfulness comes from rootedness. The fruit comes from the root. You got to have that root together. In fact, let me use this illustration. The fruit of the Spirit. It's an easy one to illustrate. Most of you probably have this verse memorized. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against this, there's no law. Look at that list. Can you do any of those by yourself? The fruit of the Spirit is love. What's that imply? You've got to have someone to love. It's not talking about loving yourself. Patience. Oh my gosh, where's patience developed? But in relationship, right? Is this new? Am I making any sense to anybody here? Yeah. Every one of this spiritual fruit, it's all relational. You can't have any of it without being in relationship in the body, in the vine of God. He calls us to be fruitful in relationships. Peace, kindness. How can you be kind to no one? Oh, I'm the most kind person. I've never shown it to anybody. No, we practice kindness with each other and hospitality, etc. That's the kind of fruit I want in my life, don't you? How's it going to come? It's going to come by working through and with tough-to-love people, tough-to-be-patient people, people that might be a challenge to be kind to. All spiritual fruit is relational. You know, when it comes to dealing with sin and challenges in our life, there's times when you just got to help. You got to have help. You know, I'm thinking of a football game the other night, and you got this crazy back that could not be stopped. Every person that he ran into by himself, he couldn't be tackled with one person tackling him. They figured it out, and they did a group tackle. They tag tackled him. And it worked. Kind of like Marshawn Lynch used to be, remember? It took two to bring him down. There may be things and sins and challenges in your life that you're not going to be able to handle on your own. The Bible says, don't fear that, but that's when you join together with another brother. That's where two are better than one, for they have a good reward for their labor. If one falls down, the other can pick him up. And if one's attacked, the other can defend him. Remember this, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 19? He says, there's a truth in that. You may need to double tag team some of the bullies, taking off your joy, taking out your love, taking out some of it. And God says, do that together. The big ones all need help. What are you facing? We only get healed, ultimately, in community. We only get healed, ultimately, in community. Well, last one. Well, the benefit here is power to change. Power to change. Jot down the benefit as power to change. When you're part of the vine, he says, you're much fruit. There's power to change, and there's benefit to your life. The last one, I just love this one. You're part of God's eternal or forever family. That's the benefit. You're blessed because you're connected to God's forever family. God joins himself to our spirits and declares that what? We're children of God. He's our father. We're his kids. This is a forever family. He says, that's why I'm calling you my children. I want you to know that people who are members of God's family must live. God's family is the church. God's family is the church. God's family is the church. A Christian without a family would be called an orphan. God doesn't want any orphans. You know, when you were born, probably somebody took you home from the hospital. Praise God, my mom and dad took me home from the hospital. And I became part of their family. You know, my little sister, Linda, she didn't have anybody to take her home. So my mom and dad took her home. She became part of our family. God doesn't want any orphans. He says, I want you to be part of my family, where you belong. You're mine. I care about you. I want you to grow. I want you to be a productive member of the family. Now, you are not foreigners or strangers any longer. But you're citizens together, there's that same word, with God's holy people. You belong don't know how much more I could drill that into us today, but it's directly counteracting our culture and its word for us. God says, you belong. You belong to God's family. He's passionate about us connecting and being a part. Now, I know I haven't mentioned it much today, but could I give a little commercial for the Connect class? Right after church, childcare available, enchiladas to eat, and we're going to take some time and go through in more detail these same ideas. Not just what the Bible says about connecting, but how. In fact, we're going to talk about our strategy as a church. We want everybody to sense, this is what we're trying to do. Oh, Pastor Bruce, I get it now. That's why the church does what it does. It's our strategy. We're going to talk about our structure as a church. Why we are organized the way we are. Why we organize around biblical ideas. We're going to talk about our statements. What are the statements that God calls us to? And last, oh, the best one, and we're going to talk about our connection to God, our salvation. Because ultimately, that's our goal, is everybody connecting to God and connecting to the church family, connecting to the body of Christ. We all belong. When you belong to God's family, what's your number one job? Some of you have been through the Connect class. So it's on the last page, the last page of our Connect class. We have a little covenant. It's a chance for you to understand, just like you would stand before a bride or a groom and commit yourself to them, we ask you to commit. The first thing we ask you to commit, top line, guess what it is? Number one responsibility for a member of the body of Christ at Capital Vision. You know what it is? Love your brothers and sisters in God. That's it. You promise to love. Now, I'm not talking about feel love, because in a marriage, you don't promise to feel love, because there's times, don't you know, when you don't feel like loving, or you don't feel loving, but you pledge and you promise to love and to behave lovingly, to be love. That's the first and most important responsibility all of us have, and it's the toughest. That's why God said, number one, love him. Number two, love your church family. If you're disconnected, you got a lot of love you're missing out on. I don't know. You may be trying to do it by yourself, and I just encourage you. People want to love you, but you got to get connected. You got to get together. You're going to have to block out some time, some opportunity, so that you can have love and acceptance. In fact, that's the benefit of being in the family of God. If you're feeling unloved or unaccepted, guess who needs to move? Guess who's calling you to a deeper level? And I'm using one word today. Connect! Connect! God's calling on you. In fact, here's the passage from 2 Corinthians 8. It says it this way. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. Notice the voluntary action. They gave themselves to the Lord. Love him. Starts with that. And then, by God's will, they gave themselves to us as well. Two connections. They gave themselves to God. They gave themselves to the church, to each other, to the connection. It is God's will. Don't ever wonder, what's God's will for my life? It is God's will, according to that verse, by God's will, to connect with the Lord and to connect with his family. If you've not yet connected to the Lord, don't let today go by without letting yourself do just what it says. Give yourself to the Lord. Let him be the Lord, the master, the savior of your life. If you've not yet connected with the Lord's family, take time right now and join, be a part, be a participant, jump on in. Just like that video said, you got to be crazy not to be a part of a home group, not to be part. By now, there's lots of good churches. If you're not going to be a part and an active part of this church family, find one. I love all kinds of church families in the area. It's not just about us. In fact, you know, we got a lot of needs and problems, and, you know, you can just join us. Be part of that. Because there's no perfect church. In fact, we probably need a sign out there that says, no perfect people allowed, right? Only imperfect. In 1,000 years from now, if Jesus tarries, not going to be an Apple, computers, there's not going to be a Microsoft, there's not going to be a General Motors, there's not going to be a United States of America, none of these things that we think of as permanent, they won't be here. I mean, no empire has lasted. Ours is a couple hundred years old. That's great. You know the one thing the Bible says will last, outlast it all? The church Jesus is building. He says in Matthew 16, on this rock I'll build my church, and nothing, the gates of hell, the gates of heaven, nothing can come against it. It is permanent. Now, what do you want to invest in? You get so what out about politics? Forget that stuff. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is not peripheral to the world. God's calling us to central focus and connect. What kind of time frame? Some of you I just would challenge. Would you give as much time to connecting in the body of Christ as you give to thinking about political things? Yeah. Or give as much time to the body of Christ as you think about worldly goods, possessions, and stuff? God can use us. So let me just really encourage you today. Chuck, come on up. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for these four huge pictures, these pictures of belonging and connecting to you in your church family. Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you for the challenge they provide. And we ask that you would embed in each one of our hearts this challenge to not do life alone, but that you'd call on us to do life with you and together. Lord, would you help us to grow in all aspects in our life? Help us even now as we think about your son and the call he makes, the focus he gives us on eternity. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for giving your life and building the church. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for not leaving us as orphans, but giving us your body, the family of God. We love you for it. We devote ourselves to it. And we commune now out of it in Jesus' name. Amen.